Thank you. If you are joining us right now, I just want to remind you that this is Southside Bible Fellowship. We are recording our message today, and we invite you to join us. We are grateful for everyone who has joined us online, and we are looking forward for a time of blessing, a time that we will experience God's Word coming to our lives. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. Our message will focus on Exodus chapter 7 from verse 8 to verse 25. From verse 14 to verse 25, not verse 8. Exodus 7, 14 to 25, that's where our message will focus on. But I am going to read from verse 20. I'm going to read from Exodus 7, 20 to 25. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded. He raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and his officials and struck the water of the Nile, and all the water changed into blood. The fish in the Nile died, and the river smelled so bad that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. But the Egyptian magicians did the same things by their secret arts. And Pharaoh's heart became hard. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Instead, he turned and went into his palace and did not take even this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug along the Nile to get drinking water because they could not drink the water of the river. At Southside Bible Fellowship, we believe that because the Bible is the Word of God and we are God's children, then the Bible is God's Word for us. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this moment. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for the power of your Word. We know, just as you have said, that your Word must accomplish what you intend to. We pray that you may accomplish that in our lives today, that you may speak to us at our individual level, and that you may be glorified in accomplishing your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we are beginning the countdown to Exodus. We saw last week that God demonstrated himself, his power, by turning Aaron's staff into a snake. And then Egyptian magicians did the same thing, but Aaron's staff, which had become a snake, swallowed the snakes of the Egyptian magicians. We saw that last Sunday. God was showing Pharaoh that he is a powerful God, but Pharaoh still did not believe. He did not give in. And so today, God is extending his hand of judgment. What God is doing is that he is going to show Pharaoh that there is nothing greater than the Lord. There is nothing greater than the Lord. Judgment has begun in the land of Egypt. And by what God is doing, he is pointing a finger at the Egyptians' God. This is the countdown to Exodus. The judgment here begins with blood, and it will end with blood. After Pharaoh had refused to let the children of Israel go, God came back to Moses and Aaron and told them, this time, because his heart is hardened, because he has refused to listen, go and wait for him outside his palace. And so Moses and Aaron went and did just as the Lord had said. They went and waited for Pharaoh. Early in the morning, they saw Pharaoh walking out of his palace, heading to the Nile River. Then Moses and Aaron told him, because you have refused to let the children of Israel go so they can worship their God, God has decided that he is going to turn the Nile into blood. Pharaoh was not disturbed by those words. He kind of waited to see what would happen. And so Aaron stretched his staff to the Nile, and every water in Egypt turned into blood. It was smelling in Egypt. Fish were dying. Life became difficult. The Egyptians had to dig wells just to get drinking water. God has extended his hand of judgment on Egyptian soil. Pharaoh will realize that there is nothing greater than the Lord himself. And after the Nile turned into blood, Pharaoh was not moved. Instead, he called his magicians just as he did the other time. The magicians came, but this time, instead of bringing a solution, we are told they did the same thing. So they became part of the problem. And this is another proof that no matter how powerful Satan thinks he is, he cannot undo what God does. He cannot change the situation. He cannot bring a solution when God decides to punish people. Satan can only add into the problem. This is what we see the magicians doing. But there is a reason God decided to attack the Nile. It's because the life of the Egyptians revolved around the Nile. It was the source of their life. It was the landmark of Egypt. And by striking it, God is striking the life of Egypt. He's striking the source of their hope, the source of their strength, the source of their health, the source of their everything. They were three gods associated with the Nile River. The first god was the great Osiris. The great Osiris is referred to as the god of the Nile. He was illustrated with the river running through his bloodstream. The great Osiris, because the Nile was considered to be divine and the source of life. The second god was Nu, N-U. This is a god of life in the river. And the third god was Hapi, or Hapi, if you want. This is the god of the flood, the fertility god. He is illustrated as a bearded man with breasts and pregnant stomach. He is illustrated as a bearded man with breasts and a pregnant stomach. Hapi was the great god of the Nile, because he was considered the fertility god. The Nile was an important part of Egyptians' life. Without the Nile, Egyptians would starve to death. And therefore, by turning the Nile into blood, the Lord is demonstrating his power over false gods. He is demonstrating that he is more powerful than the gods of Egypt. The second thing the Lord is doing here, he is punishing the Egyptians for their idol worship. The Egyptians were famous for worshiping idols. And by turning the Nile into blood, God is punishing them for their idol worship. Number three, by turning the Nile into blood, the Lord is saying that his terms are non-negotiable. He is sending a message to Pharaoh and the Egyptians that I'm not going to negotiate with you. You will have to bow down to me and to my terms. He is telling Pharaoh that my terms are non-negotiable. It's either you let my people go or you suffer for keeping them in Egypt. God will later send the same message when Jesus Christ dies on the cross. He will be saying that my terms remain the same. For anyone who wants to be saved, they have to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. The message of the cross sends a similar message. There is no other way but Jesus Christ, the way. With one strike, Egypt's greatest landmark and special source of life is rendered useless. God has made the Nile become useless. The point at which the Egyptians were paying their worship, their respect, the object of their worship, the object of their respect, the object of their faith, the source of their life has been rendered useless with just one strike. Just as on the cross, with just one death, God made it possible for our sins to be forgiven. And Jesus Christ died once and for all. And anyone who turns to Him, just one act of faith will change a person. One act of faith will provide forgiveness. Just one act of faith, turning to Christ and asking Him to save you and to forgive you, if you've never done that, is enough for Him to receive you, to forgive you, and to make you a new creation and become a child of God. The greatest landmark of Egyptian life has become a horror. It has turned into a horror. It has turned into a nightmare. There is water and food shortage. There is transportation shutdown, a financial disaster, because now Egyptians cannot continue with life as usual. I know this makes you think of something that has happened here in our world today. It makes you think of what is going on and wonder whether God is not doing something. When the Egyptians realized that there was nothing they could do, when Pharaoh realized that there was nothing he could do to change the situation, when the magicians came and instead of bringing a solution, added into the problem, one of the things that I feel like asking right now is, where are the gods of Egypt? Where is Osiris? Where is Nu? Where is Hapi? What are they doing? Why are they not responding to the cry of the Egyptians? Why are they not helping? These are the gods that Egyptians had worshipped for a long, long time. But it is something sad that happens here. When the magicians do the same thing, their actions encourage Pharaoh to ignore what Moses and Aaron was saying. You look at verse 22. We are told, but the Egyptian magicians did the same things by their secret arts. And then listen. And Pharaoh's heart became hard. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Instead, verse 23, he turned and went into his palace and did not take even this to heart. His heart became hardened, even after seeing the Nile turn into blood, even after smelling the smell that was coming out, even after seeing that the fish were dying, even after realizing that the Egyptians had no water and this was affecting the nation, his heart became hardened. Instead of turning to the Lord, he turned away and went back to his palace. Our life is not so different today. Our culture is not so different today. We are worshiping idols. One of the reasons Pharaoh's heart was hard was because he believes. He believed in other gods. One of the reasons his heart was hardened is because he had sold his heart to other gods. It's because he was worshipping false gods. It's because he was ascribing greatness to false gods. And the more God demonstrated his power to him, the more his heart was hardened, because his heart belonged to other gods. We are told in Psalm 14 verse 1 that a fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Pharaoh here is acting like a fool. He is seeing what God, the Lord, is doing, and he is refusing to accept it. This is a conscious decision that he has made in his heart. Pharaoh has a heart. Just as the fool that the Bible talks about has a heart, but has decided that there is no God. Pharaoh is living, acting like a fool here. One of the questions that I feel like asking each one of us is, what is it in our lives has replaced God? What is it in our lives that we pay much attention to than we do to God? What is the idol in our lives? You may be thinking of an idol in a different way. You may think, well, it has to be something that I have set apart, something that I worship, something that I come back in the evening and kneel before it and lift it up, something that I offer to, something that I do, a ritual thing to. That might be the idea you have of an idol. But really, anything that we are sacrificing to, anything that we think if we could have it, our life would be happier and more worthy, and it will be the best life you can ever have. Anything else rather than the Lord will be an idol. Because everything else that we have, even though it may contribute to a better life, we have to acknowledge the Lord as the source of it. And anything that takes that from the Lord, anything that makes us feel that if it were not for me, that if it were not for this, life wouldn't have been as it is, if it were not for my smartness, if it were not for my brain, if it were not for this decision that I made without acknowledging the enabling of the Lord. The self-centeredness idea of being self-sufficient, which puts God away, is an idol worship. Remember, God has a way of confronting our idols. Just as he's doing in Egypt, he will continue to confront the Egyptian idols, just as he will continue to confront our idols. One by one, he will be striking them down. Just imagine how it will be like if the stock market collapsed. Imagine how it would have been if the price of gas rose to $50 a gallon. What if the supply of water was contaminated? Imagine if the grocery stores started running out of food. I can't imagine the chaos and the riots on the streets and people dying and destruction. Life would be rendered useless when those things that we hold on to are taken away. What is it that we have allowed in our lives to take the place of God? Recently, people were going crazy, running for toilet papers. We have just had one infection, and it has brought the economy down to its knees. We have found ourselves out of control. We have found ourselves living in fear. I don't like what has happened. But it's hard not to see the humor in it as well. I remember last Wednesday, I had gone to BJ's for shopping here at Manchester. And there was a lady that I saw. She looked so much like one of the ladies that we worship with here at Southside Bible Fellowship. And I looked at her, but I wasn't sure she was the one because she was wearing a mask. And I couldn't get close to her. I had to stay six feet away from her. So I'm looking at her, I want to say hi, but I can't tell. I am not sure she's the one, but she's wearing a mask as well. And I was wearing a mask, so probably she couldn't recognize me as well. But this is the life. This is the life that we are living now. We used to be staying, we used to be not interested on others that much, especially in New England. It's a place that people would live for themselves. You know, everyone is all set. We used to be distancing from one another, but now we have a reason to distance from one another. We used to enjoy our private life before, and now we have a reason to be even more private. You don't have to worry about someone coming closer to you anymore. We used not to want to pay attention to one another. Now we have a good reason not to pay attention to one another. We can't even recognize one another at a grocery store anymore. Something is happening in our lives, right in front of our eyes. God is telling us something. He's speaking to us. God is showing us that everything that we have been holding on to, everything that we have been running to, everything that we thought is what we needed to be happy and to live a life of success, everything that we thought would bring us the American dream is no longer what we need right now. God is telling us something with what is happening. God is telling us. His message is clear. He is telling us that there is nothing greater than Him. The same message He was sending to Pharaoh and the Egyptians is the same message He is sending to us now. And He is telling us there is nothing greater than Him. And I think this is our chance. It's our chance to take a pause and think and ask ourselves tough questions. Ask ourselves, what is it that I have allowed in my life to take the place of God? Because I believe God will continue to confront us. He will continue to confront our idols. He will continue to confront everything. Everything that we worship until we realize that there is nothing greater than the Lord. And God's demands remain the same. They remain the same as then as they are now. That's why Paul says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is the Lord, because that is the goal. In the end, whether we accept Him or we don't, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that the Lord is God, because there is nothing greater than our Lord. He said, if you are listening and you've never believed in Jesus, God's demand is still the same. Just as the jailer, when he asked Paul and Silas, what can I do to be saved? God's demand is the same. His expectation is the same. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. Jesus is the only way to salvation. There is nothing greater than Jesus. There is nothing greater than the Lord. We should not expect God to make another offer. There is no other offer except Jesus Christ for everyone to be saved. And I'm calling on you. If you've never believed in Jesus, you should turn yourself in, because He is waiting for you. He is waiting to forgive you. He is waiting to receive you. He is waiting to make you a child of God. Because there is none who is greater. There is no one. There is no one who forgives our sins. There is no one who has the kind of love that we get from God. There is no one who is so merciful and so gracious. There is no one who is waiting to receive us with both arms when everyone else is turning from us. The Lord is waiting to receive us. Even if Pharaoh had decided to turn to the Lord would have received him, because the Lord always receives those who turn to Him. And I'm pleading with you, if you've never believed in Jesus, that you may turn to Him today, because He's waiting to receive you. He loves you and He wants to change your life, because there is no one else who can do it. There is no one else who can forgive your sins. We cannot live without Him. We cannot live this kind of life while God is providing us with an opportunity to be forgiven. In our culture today, we continue to worship idols. We may not have sat down and decided that we want to worship idols, but we continue to do so. Because when we depend on money more than trusting on God, we are worshiping idols. When we replace creation with evolution, we are worshiping idols. Because we are ascribing that which the Lord has done to something else. Millions of Americans believe that we evolved. They don't believe that God created us. Millions of Americans have ascribed the greatness of God to something else. When we remove God and His word from our schools, when we take away prayer from our schools, we are worshiping idols. And the result is the same. Hardened hearts. That's what you get. Hardened hearts. The heart will continue to increase its hardness when God is taken away in a society. And God will respond. And every time He responds, He stretches His hand, He strikes at our idols, and we will feel the pain. I believe that God is sending us a message. And I believe that as Christians, you and me, those of us that have confessed Jesus as Savior, that this is our chance. This is our chance not only to reflect on ourselves, not only to reflect on the kind of life that we are living, but to also ask ourselves, what is it that God wants to do through me in this culture today? What is it that you can do with what is happening right now? What is it that you can do to point someone to God? Moses and Aaron will keep on going to Pharaoh because they have a mission. You and I have a mission. You and I are not afraid of the blood that kills the fish, the blood that stinks. You and I have confidence because of the blood that saves, the blood that heals, the blood that washes away our sins. We have that confidence. We are not afraid. We shouldn't be afraid. You and I are not facing Pharaoh. You and I are facing our brothers and sisters and our neighbors and our friends. That's whom God wants us to face. He's not sending us to Pharaoh. He's sending us to that one person that we meet on the street, that one person that we have on our phone, that one person that we know that does not know Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you that you use this time to be the Christian that God wants you to be. I want to encourage you that you use this time to be the church. Because God expects us to be the church. While people will be turning to other things, He wants us to know that there is nothing greater than Him. And indeed, He is the only one that deserves our worship and our praise, our sacrifice, our energy, and everything that we are. So let me encourage you as we go on with this series, as we begin looking at the plagues that are striking the nation of Egypt. I want you to ask God to speak to you, to help you see what He wants you to see, to help you do what He wants you to do, to help you be the kind of Christian that He wants you to be. There is a message that God is sending us with what is happening in this world. And as Christians, this is our chance. Because there is nothing greater than Him. Please pray with me. Father, I want to thank You again for this moment. I lift You for Your love for us. Thank You for reminding us of who You are. And thank You, Lord, for bringing to our attention that there are things in our lives that can become idols, that we can allow to take Your place. Help us, Father. Help us to know that You are the only one, the source of everything. Help us to realize that we need You more than anything else. Oh Lord, and may You glorify Yourself in our lives as we make plans to regather together. May You glorify Yourself in our lives, Lord, as we take those steps of faith to reach out. May You be glorified, Lord, as we make those tough decisions. so that we can focus fully on you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. I will remind you to continue praying for our sister Marjorie and for Teresa, also her former mother-in-law, and for Madeline, who hurt her hand. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. You can use this moment to, after the song that is going to come, you can use the few remaining minutes to connect with one another. Thank you. God bless you.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song. I deliver it from my enemies.